Hello and welcome to WebHack Wednesday. I'm Martin Beery.
And I'm Martin Kern.
And today we're going to be talking about
ASP.NET Tag Helpers.
ASP.NET Tag Helpers, which are a new Razor feature.
Yep.
So if you're an MVC person doing ASP.NET stuff, you know what Razor is. This is the new addition to Razor, which we can find inside of ASP.NET Core.
Yeah. Okay. And they're really cool. They sort of make life a bit easier. And they make, really, the main thing is they make your code pretty. Like prettier to look at.
Well, yeah, I find that they...
And they colour in your code as well.
So instead of using HTML helpers, which require you to do this quite strange sort of escaping.
Yeah.
Well, not strange, but...
It is quite strange.
But it's one of the benefits of Razor that you can do this escaping to escape into a mix HTML and C# code.
Absolutely, yeah.
But when you're having to do that just to... make forms or existing things do or create HTML elements.
Yeah.
It actually seems like quite a difficult way of doing that with
HTML
helpers.
And there are other problems as well. So one thing about tag helpers, it makes your markup very kind of standard looking. So it looks like standard HTML markup.
Yeah.
Which is great because if you give it to like a designer or a front-end dev that's not necessarily an ASP.NET person, they're going to just be able to work with that. Whereas if you give them the kind of 4.x style of HTML helpers, they won't know what that is necessarily, and it'll look strange and confusing, and they'd be bewildered by it.
Okay, it's quite a difficult concept to describe,
so
shall we switch over to a computer and show it?
Let's do that, yeah. So just to start off with, this is an ASP.NET core project, which I've created, just using the standard kind of web application template. And I've actually scaffolded out a controller, a people controller, with the views as well. So if we just take a look at the create view. So this is just the standard code that you get if you scaffold something out. And you'll see, you might have noticed just there on the video, that initially that was just blue and it's turned to green. So the form tags and the div and the labels and the inputs and spans, they've turned to this nice kind of, I guess it's a teal color.
I was going to say teal.
Yeah, I think it's teal. We'll call it teal. Or just green, but it's not blue. Is the main thing. And what that means is basically those are tag helpers. That's if it turns teal, then you know it's a tag helper. But it looks and feels like a regular HTML tag, which is one of the great things about it.
Yeah.
And you'll see that they're decorated with these ASP attributes. So you can see on the form there we've got ASP action. And on the div, you've got ASP validation summary.
So that's one thing. So you can add attributes to existing HTML elements, like div and form in that instance. But you can also create new tags as well.
There's three types of tag helper that you can have. One is, like you say, you can enhance existing standard elements. So in this case, the form has been enhanced by ASP action. So we've added some extra stuff to the form. And this ASP action just says which action it submits to. Mm-hmm. You can... If I just zoom back out of here, you can also have a whole new element. So if I go to the layout page here, we've got a thing called an environment tag helper, this guy here. So this is a whole new tag helper called environment that does things around, it looks at the environmental variable to see whether it's in dev mode or staging or production, and it'll do different things based on that. So that's where that's been invented as a tag helper. And the third thing is where you can just have a tag helper that's basically doesn't really have any output. It just does something. So, like an environment is a good example of that.
You mean environment's not actually... So environment's not a new tag that you're creating which is going to actually be output to the browser.
No, that's it.
It's just going to switch... It's basically like a case straight statement between that HTML.
Exactly.
So it's either going to... If you're in development environment, it's going to put that link and that link in there. And if it's in staging and production, it's going to have the different links in there. But the environment tag that you're creating is not really generating any output.
No, the output will just be a set of link tags. Yeah. But they'll differentiate between these two. It is like an if-then statement, basically,
But you could equally be outputting an actual tag.
Yes, you could. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Right. So links are another good example here. So we've got if you look at the top bit where it says development, those are just standard links. So the idea here is if you're in development mode, we're going to use the local copies of Bootstrap on our local style sheets.
Yeah.
If you look at the next bit down where it says staging and production, we've got these. They're decorated. So we've got ASP fallback href, ASP fallback test class. So there's a lot of intelligence in the link smart. Tag helper there to sort of fall back and gracefully fail and try other things if the main thing isn't available. So in this particular case, it will try and get bootstrap from the ASP.NET CDN. If that's not there, it fell back to the local minified version, basically. Okay. So some nice intelligence built into that. Another thing we've got, we can point out here with Link, is we've got the append version. This gets around quite a common problem around caching, browser caching. It means it'll append the version number automatically when it changes. So it's just, the idea is you've got server-side intelligence and being able to bring that into your HTML and your markup really easily and really simply, but using the standard.
To be clear, the thing that gets outputted to the browser, in this example of a link tag here,
yeah,
that's not going to contain the word ASP.
Yeah, well, let's take a look at that. Let's just run this. So this is, we've got a layout page with all this stuff in here. We've got a similar set of environment tags for our JavaScript at the bottom. And then if we just take a look at just the home page for the whole site here, I'll go to the create page. So if we just run this, and we can see exactly what the markup looks like. And it will just be standard HTML markup, because tag helpers are a development thing. They're not necessarily going to affect the markup, they're just going to affect the development experience.
Right.
So if we just go to /people and create a new person. Oh, that's not good. Okay, I'm just going to do that quickly.
What's that saying?
There's Entity Framework complaining that I haven't applied migrations.
Oh.
But it's really good.
I've never seen that screen, though.
It's nice because it gives you a button to press. Okay, we're going to back up a little bit here.
Just pretend that didn't happen.
We'll pretend that didn't happen. Yeah,
I'm not going to cut it. I'm too lazy.
Oh, really? Okay. Anyway, so we've got the this is the page that's rendered, and if we just do the F12 on this, or we just go to here and do F12 developer tools and actually take a look at the markup. If we just say, look at that there. So this is just rendering standard labels. If we look at all the CSS stuff up in the head, so all those environment tags, all that's actually been rendered from all of those environment tags is those two links there. Yeah. Again, if we look down at the JavaScript at the bottom, the thing that's rendered is a bunch of script tags.
Where's that one which had the append version on it?
I'm not sure. Oh, it's the site.js.
Site.js.
Yes.
All right, so it's just adding like some randomness.
It's just adding randomness is probably the best way to describe it. It's not a GUID, it's just some random stuff.
Right, okay.
I'm sure it probably is a thing, but it's...
So that's a known thing. So that's only ever going to update if we've made a change to
exactly,
JS.
Yeah. So if we change that file, then it's going to generate a new one of those random strings, and browsers will then recache the file.
I think they call that a cache busting.
Cache busting, yes.
Cache busting...
Strategy.
Yes.
In fact, I think Mads Christensen's got a blog article about exactly this technique.
Okay.
I think he calls it cache busting. It's really hard to say that.
Cache busting strategy.
Yeah. Anyway, so that's...
Everyone needs a cache busting strategy.
They do, yeah. If you're caching and you need to bust cache, then you need to have a cache busting strategy.
Well, if you get through a certain period in your life, there will come the time when you need a cache busting strategy.
Yeah, especially if you're in the world.
If you've got a strategy, what? A cache busting strategy?
Oh, yeah, I've got one of those. I'm using these tag helpers to help me out with it.
Right.
So that's kind of... That's tag helpers as they are. Now, if we just contrast that to 4.5. So I've got exactly the same project set up in exactly the same way with .NET 4.5, 4.5.2 to be precise, but that doesn't matter. We look at the same page, so I've used the same model to scaffold this, and we just compare that to what we've got here. So it's effectively doing the same thing, but we're using the old style HTML helpers here. And look how messy and horrible that looks compared to the tag helpers. So if we just take this one as an example, this label here, so this generates is a label, mm-hmm. Okay? A label with a CSS class of control label and col MD2 on there. That's all it does. And yet, we've got quite a lot of code there.
Yeah.
And if we contrast that to the tag helper way of doing it, which is, I'll just stop that a minute. The exact same label in tag helpers is this guy here.
Mm.
So it's much more simple. It's kind of a designer would be able to look at that and say, right, I know what that is. It's a HTML label.
Yeah.
So that's what they're all about. And these, obviously, there's a load of built-in tag helpers. Most of the kind of HTML form type elements, especially, are implemented as tag helpers that you can just add things to help you out with them.
I think if you go into view imports, this HTML file.
Yes.
If you look into view imports, is it that one?
Yeah. So it's an important... I'm glad you've brought that up, actually, because I'm using the web application template here.
Sorry, I didn't actually switch over to the screen.
That's right. Okay. There it is.
So it's inside of view,
view imports, and then
underscore view imports, yeah. .chtml.
And this is what you get. So I'm using the web application template, which is the one that's kind of got a load of stuff predefined. If you're starting from empty, then you'll need to install that NuGet package in order to get this stuff.
Okay.
So empty, as we know, is pretty empty. even images aren't rendered by default. So you'll need to have that NuGet package in there. But if you're starting with web application, that's in there by default.
Okay. So that is inside of the view imports folder, yeah. which is like a... that's a convention. Yep. View start and view import are a convention that get applied to every view, subsequent
yes.
view. You
yeah.
can, yeah. So
if I make change, so we'll see in a second how we use that to yep. So what we're going to do now, so now we understand what tag helpers are, we're going to actually look at creating our own tag helper.
Yep, okay.
Now then, have you ever played with the Stack Overflow API?
Not in C Sharp. I've done it through their web interface.
Okay.
Like SQL-like.
So it's a really good API. I'm just going to copy. So I'm using Postman here. I'm just going to do a request. This is just a standard request for questions on Stack Overflow.
That's the smallest font.
I know, but don't worry, because I've fixed it. So what this does, it's a great API. It's kind of open, but when you look at dates, it returns these weird strings.
Okay.
Now, that doesn't look like a date to me, and I was confused when I first looked at this.
Yeah.
That is actually something called an epoch string.
Oh, right. Okay, so we're talking about epochs.
Epochs. Epoch, yeah.
Oh, in the production meeting, I thought you said Ewoks.
Ewoks.
Yeah.
No, not Ewoks, no.
That's why I put that.
That's Star Wars.
Well, I thought it was strange.
Well,
that Stack Overflow would be returning Ewoks.
But. Yeah, well, maybe they do. Maybe if there's a question about it, maybe there's a tag for Ewoks in Stack Overflow. But no, we're talking about epoch.
Epochs, epoch. Okay. Well, Ewoks yeah. will do as well.
Yeah, that's fine. So an epoch is a thing that's in Unix. And it's quite a strange concept, really, but it makes sense. So a time is represented by the number of seconds from the 1st of January 1970.
Yeah.
And so that number of seconds there is how many seconds from
that
1st of January. Yeah.
Which is, I used to work on a PIC database, which had exactly the same sort of database store. I think it's quite a common way to handle.
It is, yeah. I think it runs out in like 2024, some date in the future.
The limit of the integer.
But it's nice because it is just an integer and you can work with it. So what we're going to build is a tag helper that will take epoch dates and convert them to real dates
awesome.
That we can actually implement. So we're going to start off by just creating a new project, which I'll just go to Visual Studio. I'm just going to do this as a web application project for now. Go to web. And I'm just going to call this, let's call it Ewok. I mean, yeah, may as well. And just click go for that. I'm going to choose a web application just to save me avoiding all of that, going for the NuGet stuff for MVC and stuff. I don't need authentication for this. It doesn't really matter whether that's there or not. And so by convention, so tag helpers are basically their classes. They're just simple classes that implement the iTag helper interface.
Right.
So by convention, we're going to just create a folder called tag helpers. It doesn't really matter where they go, but just by convention, you would create a folder in the root of your project called tag helpers. So we're going to do that very quickly. As soon as Visual Studio catches up with me, I'm obviously that fast that it's struggling to keep up. So I'm going to create a folder called tag helpers, and I'm going to add a class to this folder called epoch tag helper.
These can obviously be distributed as a it's just a class, so it can be distributed in lots of different ways. It doesn't have to be included in
exactly
the
yeah
and the ones which come with MVC they're a NuGet package, right?
Yeah, well I think they're in that NuGet package we looked at earlier, I think. Yeah, so I'm gonna call this epoch tag helper. Yeah. So again, by convention, the file name should be tag something tag helper, like it is with something controller in MVC. It doesn't really matter, but just as a convention. So that's my basic epoch tag helper. So the first thing I want to do to turn this into a tag helper is just tag helper. And then I just need to resolve my little using statement there. So this is now officially a tag helper class.
Yep.
Okay, so just to get us started, I'm going to just copy some code from my snippet manager here and paste this in here. So tag helpers have two functions that can be overridden, process and process async.
Yep.
And that's basically the bit of code that executes the tag helper. So what this one does, quite simply, is it just sets the output as fictional race of small mammaloid bipeds,
which is
what an Ewok is.
Right, okay.
So that's that there. That's the tag helper done. And now to be able to use this tag helper, we need to go into our view imports. And we need to have... bear with me 1 second. We need to add the namespace in here. So it's add tag helper. And it's going to be star. And I need to be careful here because I've called it Ewok. Let me just check what I've called it. Ewok.tagHelpers. There we go. Star Ewok.tagHelpers. Well, actually, I think we can just do Ewok, and that's just means the whole project.
Right. Okay.
So what I'm doing here is I'm basically setting it to, as well as using the MVC tag helpers that are provided by that NuGet package, I'm saying I can use my own tag helpers as well.
Okay.
And now it means that all of the views are available, all of the views can now use any tag helpers that are in that namespace, effectively. Okay, so that's great. And I'm just going to build the project now. And now what we're going to do is we're going to go to our view and actually start to use this.
Okay.
So I'm just going to go to the index view for now. I'm just going to do a H1 just so it's nice and big and we can see what we're doing. And I'm just going to type in epoch and close it. And you'll see that's gone that lovely shade of green.
Ewok, I thought it was Ewok.
Well, I've called the project Ewok, but I've called the tag helper Epoch.
Oh, see, we're getting confused.
Yeah, yeah. And that's why I struggle slightly with my view imports, because is it an Ewok or is it an Epoch?
So if you go back to the class implementation of this,
yeah.
If we go into this one, So the class itself...
It's called Epoch Tag Helper, but so just like in MVC, it will ignore the tag helper bit.
So there's a naming convention.
There's a naming convention,
Epoch will become the tag by default.
By default, yeah.
And there are attributes that you can add to that class to override that.
There are, yeah. So if you wanted to target an existing tag, you can do that. And it's out of scope for this, but there's lots of variations to this. But for just implementing your own tag helper like we're doing here, that's the convention. So you call it Epoch Tag Helper, and that will allow you to simply go Epoch in your markup.
Right, okay.
Okay, so let's just see what this does just by default. So as you'd expect, this is going to simply tell us what an Ewok is.
Right, okay.
Okay, so all I've had to do in my markup, I've just written Tag Helper Epoch, and that has generated that string there. So that's kind of your hello world example, basically.
Yeah. Well, so hello, fictional race of small...
Mammaloid bipeds? I don't know if that's true.
Mammaloid?
I thought it was like a jam.
Oh, it's marmalade.
Yeah. Okay. It doesn't seem like it's a word that has... Yeah, I'm going to move on. So let's start to put some code in here now to actually do something sensible. So we're going to get rid of that. We could get rid of that as well. We don't need that anymore. And I'm just going to paste a little bit of code in here that does the epoch conversion. So what this code does is firstly, it gets the child content. So this little line of code here will get the what's contained within the tag.
Yep.
So we're going to put our epoch string within our tag. And this will get into this child content raw. I'm then going to establish a date time variable for the 1st of January 1970.
Yep.
And then I'm going to simply add the number of seconds, and that's going to give me a display date, and I'm going to display that as a string. Really simple, okay? So what we're going to do now is go back into index, and I'm just going to put in an epoch date here. So 299442480. And we'll reveal what date that is in a second. It's a little bit of suspense for you there. If I've typed it right, let me just double check I've typed it right. Yes, I have typed it right. So let's just run that and see what we've got. There we go. And that is the exact minute that I was born.
Oh, wow.
There we go. As an epoch.
Okay, so if anyone wants to...
If anybody wants to know...
And if anyone wants to sort of compromise your banking
and
security,
do some identity fraud, there it is. Go ahead, go for it. Yeah.
What's your mother's maiden name?
Yeah, we're not going to go there. But that's kind of cool, though, right? So if I was using the Stack Overflow API and I'm getting these epoch things returned, I don't need to do any conversion in my controller or my view model or any of that kind of stuff.
If you just wanted to sort of display that.
Yeah. Imagine if I was trying to do that in my Razor view or I just want to take the data directly from the data that's come back out of the API and just display it as a date.
And likely as well, if you wanted to do something like, there's a great little JavaScript library called Moment.js, which converts dates into readable human dates. So okay. Instead of, if it was like a few seconds ago, it just says a few seconds ago.
Yeah.
Or if it was an hour ago, it says 1 hour ago.
Well, you could do a tag help.
And then it's much later. Well, I think Moment.js does that in JavaScript, but the initial render of that could absolutely be done in on server side, and then subsequent updates. So if you left the page open for an hour, they would update using JavaScript maybe. But that would be the perfect example of where you've got quite a straightforward piece of data, but you've got a far more complicated display.
Yeah, exactly. So talking about more complicated displays, I feel that display, although it's nice, it's human readable, it's still a little bit complicated. I'd like something a little bit more friendly than this.
Okay.
So I'm going to take it to the next level.
Okay.
I'm going to take this tag helper to places where tag helpers rarely go, and I'm going to make it so that I can pass in a formatter, a formatter, so that I can add in a date format, basically.
Okay, so it's, over to your computer.
It's not in my snippets, but I'm just going to code it out. It's fine. So I'm going to add a string, a public string, to my tag helper. I'm going to call this formatter, and then I'm just going to say, in my two string, I'm going to just put in formatter.
Yeah.
Now, what that's going to enable me to do is, in my markup, I'm just going to build this again quickly. It's going to allow me to add an attribute to my tag helper, where I can define in my markup how I want to format the string. So I want to display it in sort of a nice, friendly, I just want the date maybe. So I'm going to go DD month, month, yeah, yeah, yeah.
You've already done that. Three M's, three Y's.
Yeah, okay. That should display a date of some sort. So this is obviously, I'm obviously using the standard .NET date formatting stuff here. You can put any string in there that you want, as long as it's a date string formatter. And then let's run that again, and it should just display the date rather than the date and time. There we go.
Oh, very cool. So if you go back to that C# implementation of
it. I'm just going to do this.
So I feel like I follow. So the attribute formatter.
Yep.
That maps through to a C# object, does it?
Yeah.
So the property. So
the property formatter, that maps onto this property here in my code formatter.
Okay.
So basically what it's saying, it's just a string and it's being passed into my code basically from the markup. And all I'm doing is I'm applying that formatter to my two string.
Two string. So it just has a property override which is accepting that string of the format, the known format.
Exactly, And there's some conventions with this as well. So things like if you have, let's say I was to do something like public string, let's call it date formatter.
Mm-hmm.
There's a slightly odd convention which I discovered if I just build this, that when you're referencing that in your index, you have to call it date. And there's a name for that. I can't think what it is, but with the hyphen in there.
Mm-hmm.
I can't think what it is now. Maybe we can, in post production, we can come back and tell the viewers what that is.
So what is this word? I can't believe you didn't.
No, I don't either now. So if we go to docs.asp.net, on there there's a tutorial called Authoring Tag Helpers, which is where I stole most of the content for the show that we've just
Brilliant.
Done.
Okay.
Now in here we scroll down and they use an idea of a mail to. For doing email. So if we look here in the C#, we've got a string called mail to.
Yep.
If you look at the notes, it says here, Pascal cased class and property names of tag helpers are translated into lower kebab case.
Kebab case.
So that's what it's called, that thing.
I've never heard lower kebab case.
So there's some funnies around that, but that's all kind of low-level detail. The point is that tag helpers are a cool way to kind of take server-side work effectively and make it very easily visible on for your markup, and also to add to standard tags rather than using these HTML helpers and having this weird kind of markup that only .NET people understand. We can just implement very standard looking forms, very standard looking HTML, and have other people work on it basically.
Okay, well that's it for another Webhack Wednesday. Thank you very much to Martin, thank you very much to the Ewoks, and we'll see you again next Wednesday for another web topic.
Cool.